Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to make a shift in your focus? Are you ready to actually get on a winning path? If you are, you will need to put aside what you think is important, because we hopefully will prove to you today that killing the beast is our number one priority. Everything we talk about has everything to do with things that are unconstitutional. You want this problem to go away. You want that problem to go away. You want the problem that you're focused on to go away. Back up, back out, and look at the big picture. Everything we are dealing with is unconstitutional. The solution? Compliance. All we have to do is demand compliance to our Constitution. It's that simple. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is why you listen to this show, because this is the show that provides you the big picture and the academic argument. We give you the evidence necessary to prove that we have to obtain compliance if we want to survive. The direction? If you think that things in this world are evil, if you think that people are so, I mean, look at Epstein. Look at all of these people that are at high levels that are starting to be exposed as pedophiles and all sorts of evil that you couldn't fathom 20 years ago, that people with that kind of money would have that kind of power. Now, we knew homosexuals were flaunting and, you know, throwing their money around and flaunting their, their flamboyancy in society. And we just kept on looking away. We kept on looking away from the evil. And now, if you look at what they're doing to our children, what they're doing to our society, can't you recognize this clear and present danger that we're facing? In the previous episode, I told you that I was going to give you an old adage, and I will. But the question I have for you right now is, have you actually put 605-562-4209 in your cell phone? On your home phone, on your desk phone? Is it in your, what do you call that, the ready dial? Or what were those old buttons on the phone that you had a speed dial? Is it on your speed dial? There we go. It should be. If you want to listen to this entire show, if you want to get the entire message, we will have the podcast up. What you may need to do is, if you really think that this day and very particular days are days you want to hear the entirety and or share this message with other people, you're going to need to write the day down, because if you didn't notice my podcast, I don't have the time to sit down and talk about what we talked about in the podcast. So you just need to take a second and write the day down and go, I need to get back to this day. Anyway, that way you can go up to reclaimingtherepublic.org and get the podcast. The United We Stand, Divided We Fall is an adage that has proven the test of time. It is an adage that comes true every time, especially when you're looking at when it is in the context of a play for power. When people are looking to control you, the best way they can take full control is by dividing you and getting you on board with some little minutia that you think, oh, well, this is the most important thing. I'm sorry, you're wrong. the most important thing is that big picture. What is this, excuse me, what is this evil thing that we are fighting doing? It is violating the Constitution. So when we start looking at division, we are divided in so many different ways. It is pathetic that we're not even recognizing this. I can tell you that these folks that are going around saying that the Second Amendment and guarding your gun is the most important thing, and they're out there fighting the fight and trying to maintain their ability to bear arms. And what is happening? It seems like they're losing the fight. It's the same thing with abortion. How long have we been fighting abortion as a country? As moral people within this country, this has been a fight that's been a half a century, right? Well, no, almost. 1970s is the, so it'll be in the 20s. We're coming up on a half a century of trying to reverse abortion and getting the federal government out of something that they have no business dictating or mandating. But that doesn't matter. People go, okay, we're going to fight it right here. This is ground zero for fighting abortion, all aboard, because if you are entangled with the beast, fighting the tentacles on their ground, you are going to lose every time. And on their ground means you're fighting them in the court systems. You're fighting them in the public arena, of the public forum, the public opinion. And even though you may seem like you've got some victories and some wins, you are no closer to winning than you were almost 50 years ago. And as a matter of fact, if you look over your shoulder, abortion and this paradigm has been propagated throughout the world at the expense of you and I, the taxpayer. It is not about it's not about abortion. It's not about the Second Amendment. It's not about immigration. It is about compliance to the Constitution. The problem is everybody has been fighting the government, just like with Obamacare. They go into the they go into the grasp of the federal government. And what I mean by that is they actually surrender, the states actually surrender their sovereignty and step into the federal government's court system. And in doing so, they have surrendered their ability to have their control. It is the state's contract, and those things not delegated to the federal government is reserved to the states. Clearly, abortion, clearly making laws about the Second Amendment or violating those things that are in violation, you may want to say that, okay, there may be some jurisdiction for the Second Amendment. Bottom line, no, there's not. Because if you look at what the federal government is doing in how it enforces the laws, the Second Amendment and the militia clauses within the Constitution go hand in hand. How can you not see this? How can you not state that, hey, federal government, you have no authority to be able to enforce your laws? That has been left to the militia. That is the militia's constitutional responsibility. They have been downplaying this, and they pulled the wool over our eyes. But the problem, I say and I state again and again and again, it's not about vaccine. It's not about Obamacare. It's not about Common Core. It's not about all of these things that are focused and myopic. It is about all of these things that all relate to one clear fact. The federal government has no authority. We have not delegated to them. The states have not delegated to them the authority to exercise this role, responsibility, or power that they are doing. And in some things, they have completely marginalized, such as the militia and things that they're supposed to do, and they have marginalized those things. And they have convinced us that, you know, creating the Department of Homeland Security is far better. Creating the Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms agency is far better, the BLM. All of these enforcement agencies are better. Folks, we are being divided. And today I want you to understand, if you start looking to the oblique of either side, you're going to start seeing label lynching, because that has been the trend in the past couple of years. As a matter of fact, this goes all the way back to Obama. Good is evil and evil is good. Patriots are bad. The IRS targeted patriots. The DHS targeted veterans that were leaving the military. Why? Because they were more patriotic than most Americans. You are the threat. And we're going to actually get into more of some details of this. But the fact of the matter is, until you back away from your little myopic fight that is in a losing position, and you actually focus your energy on the states to take up their responsibility, take up their authority over the Constitution and exercise republic review, this is the only way we will win. This is the only way we will actually get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And we're rapidly losing time. And some of the things I'm going to cover today in the news and marketing will be overwhelming, because when you start thinking about some of the things on the tech side and so forth, and on the ideological side or the mentality and paradigms, well, we've got a tough road to hoe ahead. And so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so after we get through some of this marketing, some of this need-to-know news and things that are not coming across your mainstream media, they don't want to give you the full picture of what the heck's going on. That's why they don't talk about Agenda 21. That's why they don't talk about the movement of technological control, and so forth. And so the reason why we are destined to either fall or change our paradigm is because we've been set up. We have been set up for, oh, shoot, this goes back to, I would say if you look at how people brief this, you could say that it started in the mid-1800s. And what happened in the mid-1800s? Well, I think the watershed moment, because we talked about that in our last episode, when was the real watershed moment? I think the watershed moment was when Adam Weishaupt devised the plan forward in how to take over the world in globalism, global communism and control. It was the Charter for the Illuminati. It was in 1776. And he came right out and told everybody they were going to use the education, they were going to use Christianity and the tolerance of Christianity as a weapon against us. And they haven't even looked back. They've been executing the plan left and right. And even though there are things that are frustrating, it, do not believe for a minute that a single man is going to be, like such as Trump or the next president, is going to be able to fix our problems. The only thing that will fix our problems is if the states stand up and say, you cannot do this. The states have to wield their control. They have to wield their authority over the Constitution, plain and simple. As in my conversation with Creating Equal, what was his name? Doggone it. I'm bad with names. And Ward Connerly is the guy's name. He came right out and he said, unless you go through the appropriate process of taking the authority back and or rescinding things and actually undoing this evil. And when it comes down to the federal government assuming roles and responsibilities and powers that they do not have the delegated authority to do, the only process is for the states to do this. It is the only proper way to do it. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, Trump's going to take care of that. He doesn't have the authority. What Trump could do if he was a leader would be going out to the 50 states, or at least all of the dark red states, and demanding that they take, you know, they step in and do their job, that promise them that they will, you'll support them, you'll keep the federal government off their back, and that you will help them in actually taking back the roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government has usurped. We are facing some really clear and present dangers. And I'm telling you, if you look at technology and what the heck's going on, China's paving the way. They've got political prisoners. There have been a lot of people that have talked about these empty penitentiaries and so forth, these FEMA camps. What are those? Those right there are physical locations to put political prisoners. Well, what are they going to do with political prisoners if they can't let them loose because there's just no way to unprogram them unless, you know, you want to get into some real brainwashing, but the effort just isn't worth it. So maybe our government will go down the same path and start using political prisoners as those who become donors for live organ harvesting. Wouldn't that be great? With sarcasm, of course. We're going to get into the cod fishery bounties that covers the details of how the federal government does not have the authority to use the general welfare clause to assume any new powers. We're also going to get into George Washington's farewell, and hopefully this will be building us up towards George Washington's proclamation for Thanksgiving. These are all three fundamental documents of our founding to actually lay and create the argument for the limited government as well as the divine hand of providence's involvement in the establishment of this constitutional republic. So with that, let me just kind of dive forward. We cannot forget our sponsor, at least. At a minimum, I've got to ask you, and I've got to plead, if you have not had your Red State coffee, then I would ask that you look into trying this. It is available on eBay, and our link on reclaimingtherepublic.org is right there for your picking. Just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on the Red State Coffee link. That'll take you to eBay. Call us, 425-270-5416, and let us know what you think of the coffee. Let us know, you know, how good is this coffee? I am told that this is top shelf, top premium coffee. Tell me what you think. As we start getting your feedback, I will tell you this. If this coffee is not to your liking, then there's no point in me promoting and providing, I don't want to see financial incentives, but at least out there trying to promote and push coffee that is marginal and overpriced. And I've been promised, because I don't drink coffee, I've been promised that this is not marginal or overpriced. You can pay a lot of money for things. Have you ever gone to a duty-free shop? Duty-free means that it is outrageously expensive. And so, I don't know, maybe at one point in time, duty-free was actually cheap, but every time I've gone to a duty-free shop, I've just been, you know, floored at how expensive those things are compared to what I, at least, am familiar with paying for them. Anyway, give us a call and tell us how you like Red State Coffee, 425-270-5416. Thanks for tuning in. What we would like to do is we'd like to sustain this growth of the program drive, which means what we'd like you to do is continually get people to start understanding that there is actually a radio show. There's actually a host that has a different approach. We actually want to talk about solutions. We want to talk about what it's going to take to get the Republic back into, especially the federal government, back into the framework and getting the entire Republic. So we get the federal government complying to the Constitution. We have the states finally standing up and guarding the Constitution. That's how it's supposed to work. The states are supposed to be up there guarding us, saying, nope, you can't do that. That is not a delegated power. And then the federal government has to go, well, then you need to delegate these powers to us via an Article 5 amendment. That is it, folks. Now, let me dive into the news. In magnifying Obama's era's focus on vets, do you remember during Obama's era, during his administration, how the DHS and how how even Congress and the Democrats, this is when there was the full control of Congress and the White House. And if you understand what Trump had when he had control, why is it that he was unable to move anything forward? Because even though the Republicans may have had control of Congress, there are too many rhinos that are anti doing the right thing. They do not want to see any ground given in taking back the ground that the communists have taken. You know, the two steps forward, one step back. They don't even like the one step back. They've been so successful in winning, especially with the organizations out there that are supposedly fighting them. I think they're all in cahoots. Communism has only been growing in America in spite of these organizations claiming that they're out there fighting it. So, anyway, if you remember during the Obama administration how they were focusing on veterans, right? The veterans that were just coming out, they were being flagged as potential homeland terrorists. Well, guess what? G. Edward Griffin has pointed out that the Department of Homeland Security is finally officially recognizing white supremacists as a major national security threat in the U.S. They believe that these supremacists are terrorists and a threat that is coming from inside. And so, as I told you in the first segment of this show, that they are trying to shift the paradigm. They are trying to use label lynching, and anybody that's a patriot is a little, you're just too radical, because a patriot questions the government and a patriot supports the Constitution. Hey, Bottom line is, we don't have a constitutional republic. We have this federal government that can do whatever they believe necessary. That constitution is no longer valid because based on what they're asserting, that's how they're playing. That's how they want to move forward. Now, if you look at the acting DHS Secretary Kevin McKellen and this was several weeks back, he unveiled the department's plan. I forget what day it was. He unveiled the department's new counterterrorism strategy, which for the first time places major emphasis on countering the threat of white nationalism coming from inside the United States. White nationalism? Are you kidding me? There is no evidence that supports this. As a matter of fact, there is more evidence that minority nationalism, such as La Raza and so forth, are much greater threats to us. But we've got a hard break, so let us come back and we'll finish this talk about the real threats after this. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let's kind of examine this. What is white nationalism? Because obviously we're being labeled, anybody that happens to be white and has some pride in our country, that's a patriot. Anybody that is standing up clamoring about illegal immigration, that's a white nationalist. Because you don't see enough Mexicans, or minorities, I should say, across the board. You do not see enough of them standing up against illegal immigration. The progressives have done a very good job in controlling the narrative and pointing their Hippocratic, judgmental fingers at us in stating that because we want compliance to the Constitution, that we are the problem. And so they have focused, as you start looking at moving forward, they are focused on the patriots. Obama, they pulled this out, and this paradigm lives on. It's growing legs, it's growing strength, period. It is our great, it's one of our greatest threats. And everything that is doing in context to this illegal immigration, they're violating the Constitution because they're not complying to it. They're not enforcing the laws that they actually have. I am here to tell you, my friends, that that is why compliance is key. If we get the states to actually take the courage to stand up and demand compliance, it will change everything. It will get the federal government back into scope. We'll be able to get rid of all of these evil ideologues in D.C. We could make D.C. far less populated and far more functional than ever, at least since probably Madison and Monroe were in office. Now, Trump has resisted calls to do just this in the past, but the acting DHS secretary, Kevin McCallum, is pushing through with it. McCallum is a diehard leftist that Trump appointed, who made a splash in June, allegedly sabotaging a major planned ICE raid by leaking details to the press. I can't believe that he's in there doing this. Bottom line, white supremacists are replacing the Muslim terrorist as the new boogeyman. And and here's the thing. If we understand that Muslim terrorists or Mohammedans or whatever, Islamists, whatever you want to call them, are actually acknowledged as terrorists, because why? Because they want to absolutely change our government. They want to take control of not just our government, any government that they are occupying. The fact of the matter is, we have a process of change. It's called the Constitution. It's called the Article 5 process, and that has to be done in a certain way. We do not have a democracy. But if they get you to believe, if they get your children to believe that we have a democracy, that we can just vote away these things, then we are in a very, very tough fix. And that's why I'm telling you the Bolshevik Revolution is coming, because all of these kids are convinced that we have a democracy, that they're convinced in surrendering all of our liberties so that the state can do everything necessary to provide us security, supposedly. And as Benjamin Franklin stated, you will find that we have neither security or liberty when it's all said and done. This is the old play. They're doing the exact same things. It's just got fresh names. It's got technology behind it. They're doing it in a new and improved fashion, in becoming more devious and more deceitful, because they absolutely control the media. The media will not be reporting this. But this is being reported by the few of us that are actually out there teaching you about Agenda 21. That's not my focus. Agenda 21 is a myopic problem. As I started this show off, we have to back out from the Agenda 21 focus, from all of these myopic focuses, and start demanding compliance. If we demand compliance, we absolutely have an opportunity to save our constitutional republic. This whole concept of white supremacists replacing the Muslim terrorists and other home-baked terrorist radical groups, BLM, Antifa, and so forth, as the boogeyman in America, I'm here to tell you that what we're seeing is a reality. As a matter of fact, last week in Spokane, the sheriff of Spokane actually got in front of the people of Spokane and said, the threat we face is white supremacists, those who support the Constitution and so forth. And I want you to understand, Spokane is a red area. How in the heck did the sheriff of Spokane get elected and stay in office? Well, obviously, he's been shedding his colors. He's been shifting. He's been a chimera, whatever, a chameleon. This guy has been slowly starting to show more and more of his colors. And I'm hoping that your area does not get affected by an unconstitutional sheriff that starts doing just this. Anybody that wants to actually start regulating speech, especially those who are standing up for the Constitution, going after them, vilifying them, and label lynching them. And that's exactly what the Sheriff Knezovich has done in Spokane. He's actually come right out and called Lavoie Finicum a terrorist. And in one of his videos, the Fight for Our Soul or something like that, it was a three-part series, he actually talked about the Bundys and Finicum, that they had no business going up there, and that up to the Oregon Reserve or what have you, when Lavoie got killed. And he's calling these guys out as terrorists and bad people. And I'm going, are you kidding? America's hero. Are you kidding me? This is where, and you know, this guy claims to be a Republican, my friends. If you start to understand what Republican means, we have to change what it means. We have to take this brand back. I've been talking about this quite a bit. One of the focuses, one of the changes that we actually have to make, if we're going to actually move forward and take control, a part of the strategy, a part of the plan, is to actually start taking ownership of the brand. We can no longer afford rhinos in our midst. We have to go rhino hunting, and we have to make them extinct. There are way too many rhinos out there that are willing to continually sell your liberty so that they can maintain their position at the seat of power. And it's all about controlling you more and more and more. And they're loving it. They're getting away with murder. And I literally mean that. So let me go on to the next G, Edward Griffin, because I told you we're going to talk about technology. I actually attended Gerald Ford's World Forum in 1984, and I was absolutely I was there, and I was involved in the security for that with a few other Marines out of our detachment in Denver, Colorado. And I'm here to tell you that these World Forums are where the bankers, the corporate world, and even government members come together and try to figure out how to move the world into the direction that they need it so that they can gain and take total control over the masses. So G. Edward Griffin reports that the technocrats and social engineers from the World Economic Forum give us a glimpse into the future of how technology will change our lives through artificial intelligence. Robotics, gene editing, brain enhancements, and more. The fourth industrial revolution intends to change humans biologically beyond the natural world. The Marxist or the global communist plan will highlight inequalities between individuals and seeks to create political support to, quote unquote, fill the gap. The fourth industrial revolution is concerned with controlling every detail of that world and plans to redefine humans. One scientist said that instead of free speech, she is interested in accessing people's thoughts and emotions so that they may think freely. In other words, so you can't say anything, but you can think freely. Friends, if you do not understand how technology is one of our clear and present dangers, this is all a part. This is just one battlefront in this ideological war. We no longer have defined lines on geographic maps where, you know, this is where the enemy is and this is where we are and this is where we're engaging and we're going to come this way. This is literally a three-dimensional map. And this map is, and there are no defined lines, but our threat is real in several different directions, and technology is one of those big threats. Artificial intelligence. Let me ask you a question. When you go to the store and you find that they have the automated checkouts, and you could actually go and ring yourself through pretty quickly and get out, do you use that? Are you supporting the going people-less and using artificial intelligence? Because that is the path that they want you to take, because your time is worth it. If you don't start taking a stand and demanding that you interface with people when you check out, you are losing the battle. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Folks, you are not capable of fighting and winning a war where you are being attacked in so many different directions, and the only thing you're fighting is really a small little skirmish that is designed to keep you distracted. If we start backing out, if we start looking at the big picture, there is really only one way to win this war, and that is to focus on the Constitution. It's not going to the Supreme Court, and it's not going to Congress. It's going to your states and getting your states to stand up and assert their authority. As soon as we get one David to stand up against Goliath, we will get the rest of the Davids we need. Currently, we need 27 Davids, a minor majority, but still a majority. But we need, and if you look at it, it's less than 2/3 and it's less than 3/4. We have, with 27 states, the ability to force the federal government into full compliance. And we have all the teeth necessary within the Constitution. Once we start standing on the Constitution, because again, the Constitution, per that old cliche, that tacky cliche that I never really liked, but it is true and it resonates, the Constitution is the solution. Within the Constitution, we have the authority, states have the authority to charge their congressmen, their senators and representatives in Congress with treason and have them extradited. In doing so, they can be replaced by the governor and be seated, and these tyrants can be tried. And at a minimum, they can be removed from office and banned for life per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I'm just amazed at how few people have recognized the power that that Section 3 offers us as a tool in obtaining compliance. Now, let me get back into some more news, because there is more news. Oh, by the way, in addition to the World Forum that they've had this year, Google's co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin entertained an elite group, including President Obama and all the leftist cheerleaders such as Leonardo DiCaprio, Katy Perry, and a bunch of others. And what they did was they held a three-day summer camp. It was the Google summer camp in Sicily. And everything about the meeting was secret. But it has been implied that their goal is to explore solutions. And actually, as post-meeting went, they've actually confirmed that one of their primary focuses was on global warming, even though we are refuting more and more that there is no science that proves anything within their primary argument is true. They've been baking the data and so forth. Clearly, there is a hidden agenda more important than that. According to the Italian press reports, the attendees were expected to show up in 114 private jets, which spewed tons of CO2 into the air, over 100,000 tons of CO2 into the air. And this is not, this is the hypocrisy, bottom line, of what they are doing, because they're willing to actually violate their principles just so they can control us better. Bottom line is, and it was an estimate that the cost was somewhere over $20 million. But building on tech, it's not just done in the United States. It's not just done in these world forums. There are little petri dishes. There are little test grounds that are very valuable to the global communist cause. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the tolerance of the Communist Party of China, because I can't believe that they haven't just gone in there and killed a bunch of people, other than the fact. So let me ask you this. What would happen if China did? Would America go to war, declare war against China? Would the world the world would probably sit there and probably do nothing if China started killing those unfortunate dissidents that are standing up against the Communist Party. As I said in a previous episode, if you want to see and understand the future regarding communist revolutions and so forth, Antifa is what not the protesters, Antifa are the ones who won the communist revolution in China. If you look, now Antifa has all the weapons of war, and Antifa is willing, or the Communist Party is willing, to do anything necessary. They're kind of concerned about going too far. So what they want to do is they want to allow the dissidents to get so ballsy that they're willing to cause some harm or do some things. But bottom line, as I said, China is a petri dish in the tech world in implementing and figuring out ways to better control and to do things that are just reprehensible if you think about it. China has developed, because of this petri dish, because of the protests that are going on, China has now developed the first portable sonic rifle that is designed to disperse crowds using focused waves of low-frequency sound. The device's biological effect would cause extreme discomfort with vibrations in the eardrums, eyeballs, stomach, liver, brain. Tests from the 1940s, when we were playing with this, tests from the 1940s reported that low frequency can cause dizziness, headaches, vomiting, bowel spasms, involuntary defecation, organ damage, and heart attacks. The frequency and range of the weapons are unknown, but China is now using those types of weapons so that they don't have to actually kill people. They can just hospitalize them, or they can just make them ineffective so that they can now populate more and more of their little condos of political prisoners so that they now can accommodate even more people for live organ harvesting and all sorts of other evil things that China does. Another thing on the tech side, if you want to see how Google had kind of proudly boasted their position in the pushing forward of this new space in technology, and I mean space, I mean the quantum computing and so forth. Google posted a paper on NASA, which has been removed, indicating that quantum computers are becoming reality. Quantum computers outpace classical supercomputers with unimaginable speed. Businesses are hoping the advancement of quantum computers will lead to unprecedented scientific and technical breakthroughs, with applications ranging from new chemical reactions for the development of drugs, fertilizers, and batteries to the improvement of or optimization of algorithms and mathematical modeling so that they can actually start predicting what you are doing and what you're looking for in thinking as people start reacting to maybe government's aggressive behavior towards controlling and so forth. They are going to have the artificial intelligence from quantum computing on the back end as you and I start to respond to their thugocracies and to their tactics. Folks, why do we even have to have these conversations? Why do we even have to talk about these types of things happening? Government is going to do anything and everything necessary to maintain their power. Those who are in charge want to maintain their control of you. Not only that, they want to increase their control and power over you. They're never happy with what little they have. That's why we're in this situation. That's why we have to change our focus and get the states to stand up and take back all the roles, responsibilities, and powers that were supposed to be theirs. If we do not do this, 2024 is just around the corner, and the Bolshevik Revolution will come. And your kids, your neighbor's kids, and these useful idiots that the education system has completely indoctrinated in convincing them that liberties are the worst thing for society, that we need a good nanny state to take control, to take our weapons, because they know better and they will protect us better. It is the empirical data actually proves otherwise, but these kids don't know. They've never been taught in an academic forum where they can freely challenge and have access to information to present. They have full control over the narrative, and they do not allow specific countering messages to counter what their narrative is. They do not want that. They won't allow it. That's why they go after Christians. Anybody that wants to talk about Christ or express their faith in Christ in most of these hard, die-hard communist education indoctrination systems, folks, it's just a matter of time. What is it going to take to get you active and get you involved? There is plenty more marketing, and we'll get into some more of that for the rest of the week, probably. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.